So we're dealing today with a subject that this is one of those chapters you might kind of read through quickly wondering why God put it here. We don't necessarily know why God put it here, but we do know that he did put it here, and he put it here for our benefit. So let's learn what we can as we go through it. Paul's greetings to the Roman believers. In chapter 15, verse 12, Paul actually completes the body of his epistle to the Romans. And in 15:13, he begins his conclusion, which goes to the end of the book. It's kind of a long conclusion, but that's the way it was. He was writing under the direction of God the Holy Spirit, and this is exactly what God the Holy Spirit wanted him to write. As part of the conclusion in chapter 16, Paul commends Phoebe to the Roman believers and sends greetings to various people in 16:3 through 16. We'll be looking at those verses this morning before making some closing comments, which we will look at, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. Following that, we'll be jumping to a different book. I'll tell you it's in the New Testament, but I haven't yet announced it. It's not that it hasn't been decided or determined, but let's keep you guessing for a few things in life. In 16:1 through 16, and I think I had 27 there in your notes, but it should be 16, we see a number of believers whom Paul mentions and some things we might learn from their lives. It's interesting to me that these people were not all big shots, big, famous names. They seemed to be ordinary people who loved the Lord and lived for the Lord. It's a demonstration that God does not overlook our service for him, no matter how insignificant our service may appear in some people's eyes. Who cares what these people think? It really only matters what the Lord thinks. He's the one that we want to have mercy and favor toward us. If we were to write a list of characteristics which are deemed important to the Lord in fundamentalism today, and we are in that group, we might find considerable differences from the sort of things God lists for us here. Oh yes, I know, fundamentalists have their lists of things. Worry more about what God wants than the group we are associated with thinks are important. What God thinks are important, these are mandatory for us. Could it be that we're looking at wrong things today? Oh, no, we couldn't be doing that. Maybe people in other churches, but certainly not here. Could it be that too many people look at the things that someone does rather than at what he is as a believer? And I want you to understand, what you are is far more important than what you do. It is important that you and I be godly, doing whatever the Lord would have us do, rather than that we just go through a lot of motions, like some people, in my mind at least, seem to be doing. So in verses 1 and 2, we see a commendation for Phoebe. In case you're looking for a new name for a daughter, here's one you might select. It's probably not going to be too many that will get confused with the name Phoebe. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Ah, it's a lady's name, isn't it? Our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now, Cenchrea was a seaport for Corinth. It was right there, right next to Corinth. In verses 1 and 2, Paul writes a commendation for Phoebe. She was apparently going from where Paul was to Rome, and she is apparently the one who carried the epistle to the Romans with her. You might have wondered, how did it get to Rome? Well, they put it in her knapsack or purse or whatever she was carrying, and off she went. And it got there eventually. Did she go by land? No. By boat, somewhat, yes. Maybe land as well. Interesting. You see, ladies, there are important things you can do in the Lord's service. Do them. She was doing something that was very important in our New Testament. Phoebe, according to this, says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. I present, I introduce, or I recommend to you Roman believers a lady who believes, named Phoebe. Phoebe is described as a servant or helper of the church which is at Cenchrea. I wonder what she did in the service that she rendered in the church at Cenchrea or Corinth, wherever it was, the church at Cenchrea. I have no idea. They didn't have indoor plumbing, so she wasn't cleaning the restrooms. Maybe she was straightening things. I have no idea, but she served the Lord. And you know, that's what we need to be doing too. It doesn't matter what we're doing as long as it's what the Lord wants us to be doing for Him, in serving Him. Don't be shy about serving. It may not be very glamorous in some people's eyes, but let me ask that question again. Who cares what some people think? They can think whatever they like. We want the Lord to be approving of whatever we're doing. Phoebe's described as a servant or helper. That ye receive, I'm in verse 2 now, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints is in order that, or for the purpose that you welcome her in Christ, meaning as a believer, in a manner worthy of the saints. She was a saint. And so is every saved person. We've got a church full of saints. We're blessed by God to have this number of believers who love the Lord and who are seeking to live for the Lord as part of our congregation. Oh, the numbers may not be impressive. Who cares what some people think? We care what the Lord thinks. Let's be seeking to be what He wants us to be. If you're a believer, you're a saint. I've told you before that I'm Saint James. Back here is Saint Timothy. Over here is Saint Mary. A lot of saints. We've even got a few other saints you've never heard of, like Saint Arlita or Saint Gretchen or Saint Michelle. Even St. Annie. Yep, St. Annie. We are saints because that's what God said. We aren't always as saintly as we should be, however, as we know. So we'll work at that. It provides here a procedure for transfer of membership from one congregation to another. Well, not only were they to receive her, but they were also to assist her, to render aid to her, or to help her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. It's limited only by whatever needs might arise. It is in whatever undertaking, whatever occupation, or whatever task she may need your help. You know, we have a lot of people in our church, and we provide help for them. Let's be cognizant of the idea that some people, particularly at certain times in their lives, may need your help. And they may try to turn it down. And I understand that. I don't need any help. I'll take care of it myself. But I always say thank you when somebody does try to help me. We need to help each other. We don't know what's coming this week, do we? Or next week? Or the rest of our lives? But God does. Let's be helpful. The reason they are asked to assist her is for she hath been a succorer of many. How many is many? I don't know. It's more than a few. So it's a fairly good-sized number. Apparently, she has been a protectress or a patroness or a helper. Apparently, she was well-to-do financially and had been very generous to many of the believers and also to Paul. We need to take care of each other if we have knowledge of a need. The Lord gave us a good example of Phoebe, who was that way. In verses 3 through 16, we see greetings to various people in the church at Rome. Paul sends greetings, and this word translated salute is the word meaning greet in a number of these verses. So every time you see that word salute, don't necessarily think of it as if you were back in the Marine Corps, okay? Instead, it is a greeting, an appropriate greeting. There's Priscilla and Aquila. Oh, we've heard of them, haven't we? Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. We read about Priscilla and Aquila in a number of places in the Bible. I've printed a few of them for you. In Acts chapter 18, verses 2 and 3, it says, and found, meaning and Paul found, a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus. Do you know where Pontus is located? Well, I've printed it here for you. It's located in present-day northern Turkey, up along the Black Sea. Lately come from Italy. In other words, recently come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, who was the Roman emperor from AD 41 to 54, that tells you an approximation of when 2 Corinthians was written, he succeeded a man named Caligula and was in turn succeeded by a man named Nero. Caligula had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came, we've got a closing parenthesis there, that he found a certain Jew and had commanded, Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. Paul came unto Aquila and Priscilla and wrought, means worked, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. Going on down in Acts 18, down to verses 18 and 19, and after Paul, after this tarried there a good while. How long is a good while? It's however long it took my wife to finish whatever she had to do before we could get going. A long time, right? No, a good while suggests quite a while, all right? We would understand that. And then took his leave of the brethren. Paul is leaving Corinth and sailed thence, meaning from there, from Corinth into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. So they went with him from Corinth, having shorn his head in Cenchreae. Paul had shaved the hair off of his head in Cenchreae, that's the seaport by Corinth, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, that's in Turkey, modern Turkey, and left them, meaning left Priscilla and Aquila there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Well, after Paul is gone from Ephesus, we see Priscilla and Aquila again in verses 24 through 28. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, that's in Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But his knowledge of New Testament truths was limited, as knowing only the baptism of John, meaning John the Baptist, indicates. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded, meaning explained unto him, the way of God more perfectly or accurately. They brought him up to date on what Jesus had done and on things that were true, that were known in the New Testament, but were not known at the time of John the Baptist. And when he was disposed, it doesn't mean they got rid of him. It means he wanted, he wished, or he desired to pass. It doesn't mean to die. It means to cross over, and it's the Aegean Sea located between what would be Turkey and Greece. To cross over the Aegean Sea into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ, meaning that Jesus was the Messiah. And then, as we looked recently at the end of 1 Corinthians, we see that Aquila and Priscilla were with Paul in Ephesus when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. We know that because it says in 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute or greet you, meaning you Corinthian believers. Aquila and Priscilla salute or greet you, again, you Corinthian believers. They greet you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. They housed a group of believers, and that's what people have done for centuries. When you start a church, it usually starts someplace in a home, I started two different churches as a pastor, and in both cases, we started in a home. One of them was my home. And then we outgrew it. Nice problems to have. We need to outgrow this facility. Now, I know you have to get here early in order to get a good seat. I recognize that, and I appreciate that you have all gotten good seats. Listen, we don't care what size it is. We've got plenty of space. We care that our believers are genuinely saved and living their lives for the Lord the way they're supposed to. We will see Priscilla. I skipped something there. Priscilla and Aquila are described as my helpers, meaning my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. When you see Christ Jesus rather than Jesus Christ, there's no difference in meaning, but there is a difference in emphasis. When Christ appears first, the name Christ Jesus is emphasizing the fact that he is the Messiah, the Christ. When Jesus appears first, it is emphasizing the fact that he is the Savior. Thou shalt name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So don't be bothered by that. Just realize that whichever one is first is the one being emphasized by our writer. They were my helpers or my fellow workers. Isn't that interesting? Paul wasn't taking all the credit for himself. He was giving it to Priscilla and Aquila. In Christ Jesus suggests in things pertaining to Christ or in spiritual matters. We've also seen Priscilla and Aquila. We have seen them in Acts 18 and 1 Corinthians 16. Later, they'll be found in Ephesus. But now that he's writing 2 Corinthians, apparently they're going to be back in Rome for a while. So they moved around. They had previously lived in Rome, but were expelled along with others who were Jews. They were the same trade as Paul, indicating they were tent makers, and they found one another in Corinth. Later on in 2 Timothy, Paul sends greetings to them, but at that time they were apparently located back in Ephesus. So they liked to move around, it looks like. Maybe they had no choice, you understand. We move on into verse 4, where we read, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Who for my life laid down their own necks is such ones who, on behalf of my life, risked their own necks. It suggests that they put their lives in danger for the Apostle Paul. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And it's referring to Priscilla and Aquila. All the churches of the Gentiles join Paul in giving thanks for Priscilla and Aquila because they're putting their lives on the line for Paul, enabled him to continue his ministry and thereby be a blessing to these churches. You know, you think back about it, if you are realistic in your thinking, there are people who put their lives on the line for you. Most likely, it was mom and dad. Or maybe it was a spouse. Or as you get more and more mature, like some of my church people, it might be a bunch of people that put their lives on the line for you because you just can't cut it any longer. It does happen. As you know, I'm sure thankful I'm not in that group yet. Who knows how long it'll be, but I'm thankful that I have people who will look after me. If that ever comes to pass, I would prefer to serve the Lord right up till the day of my homegoing or have the rapture come. That wouldn't be bad, you know. We wouldn't mind that at all. Unto whom not only I give thanks, They put their lives on the line for Paul. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. They not only served the Lord with their lives, but also opened up their own home to house a church in Rome, as they had previously done in Ephesus. Oh, but they might track mud in on my carpet. That's right. They might. Oh, they might spill a glass of water. That's right. They might. And if they weigh 500 pounds, they might break down your couch. These things happen. We give things to the Lord so that we can reach people. Then there's another one. If you're looking for a name, here's a little boy's name, Epaenetus. I'm not sure what you'd call him for short, but Epaenetus is his name. Salute the well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet my dearly loved Epaenetus, who's not mentioned anywhere else in the scripture. He's described as the first fruits of Asia unto Christ, which means the first one saved in southern Greece. What do we know about him? What this verse says? But God knows all about him. He wasn't a stranger to God. Then there's somebody named Mary. Mary's kind of a common name in the Bible. I think there are about seven of them. Well, this one is not mentioned elsewhere. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. We're not sure which Mary this is. Who bestowed much labor on us is such a one who worked hard, who strived or struggled greatly or often. She served the Lord diligently in assisting Paul. I've been in the ministry a little over 60 years now. I've had some tremendous ladies whom nobody knew about that served the Lord diligently and were very helpful to me. And that includes a bunch in this church. Who bestowed much labor, who worked hard or strived or struggled greatly or often. She served the Lord diligently in assisting Paul. Every one of you in this church that serves in the church in some capacity is assisting me as the pastor in this ministry, and I thank you. Then there's some more. There's Andronicus and Junia. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Salute again means greet. Andronicus and Junia are not mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, so all we know about them is found in this verse. But the Lord knows all about them, doesn't he? He knows all about you, too. Isn't that great? He's interested in you. He loves you. You are one of his favorite children. Of course, all of his children are his favorites. Isn't that nice to be a favored child? Andronicus is a male name, but Junia could be a male or a female name. We do not know. Ancient commentators viewed them as husband and wife, but that doesn't mean that that's what they were. That just means that's how they were typically viewed. They're described as my kinsmen, which means my fellow countrymen, which would suggest that they were Jewish people. They were also my fellow prisoners. I don't know what you would do with that, but it would seem to me it means they were in jail with Paul at the same time. But we can't be certain of where that might have been. In 2 Corinthians 11:23, Paul said that he was in prisons more often than the false apostles, which means more than once or twice. At this time in Paul's life, the only scripture that indicates a place where Paul was in prison was in Philippi. But there were apparently other places as well, as 2 Corinthians 11:23 will indicate. But we don't know where. By the way, 2 Corinthians was written just a little while before Romans was written. Andronicus and Junia are also described by who are of note among the apostles. You know, the apostles don't know a single one of us. It's all right. They were of note. It means they knew them. They were prominent among the 12 apostles. It suggests that the apostles were well acquainted with Andronicus and Junia, who were also in Christ before me, indicates that they were saved before or prior to the time that Paul was saved. So they'd been saved longer than Paul had been saved. We move on to Amplius. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Amplius is a common slave name, but we have no idea who he was. The Lord does, though. He knows all about him and knows all there is to know about him. Notice, my beloved in the Lord means that Paul loved him in Christ. Amplius was a male, and he was dear to the Apostle Paul. The people in our church are dear to me in a similar sense, every one of them. Urbane, another name, typically not one we use today, our helper in Christ. Salute, greet. Urbane's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, but the Lord remembers him and everything about him, and his memory is perfect. He's described as our helper, meaning our fellow worker in Christ, in the person of Christ, which indicates in matters pertaining to Christ or in Christian service. But we've never heard of him anywhere else. But God hasn't forgotten him. He hasn't forgotten you either. Isn't that nice? Stachys, there's another one. You looking for a baby's name? Several here you could pick. Stachys. We don't see him mentioned anywhere else in the scriptures. Described as my beloved. He is my dear Stachys. We don't know anything about him, but Paul did, and he loved him. The Lord also knew about him and loved him as well. Then there's Apelles. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Apelles was a common Jewish name, but we don't know anything about him aside from this passage yet. There's really nothing to know about him that the Lord does not know. Notice this phrase, approved in Christ. It means approved as a believer by testing. You're being tested, aren't you? By being tried and true as a believer. By being genuine as a believer. That's something that we want, is every one of our believers to be genuine. I don't want to see any put-ons or phonies. If I preach the Bible, those kind either get straightened out or get out. I'm sorry they have to get out, but they can't take the Bible. The Bible will get them under conviction. And unless they want to live for the Lord, you won't see them long in the ministry. I think that's sad. But we all need to recognize that as we are tested, we are to be tried and true as believers like Apelles was. Then there are those of Aristobulus' household. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Again, greet them. These are those who belong to somebody named Aristobulus, suggesting his wife, his dependents, and any slaves which he might have had in his household. Although Aristobulus was a common name, he's not mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, yet the Lord has never forgotten even the smallest thing about Aristobulus or his entire household. So why is Aristobulus himself not mentioned? Might he have already died, or might he have been an unbeliever? And my guess is that he was a believer who had already died, but recognize that's only my guess, and I have no real idea what the truth is. Then there's Herodion. Salute Herodion, my kinsman. It means salute or greet Herodion, my fellow countryman or my fellow citizen. He's undoubtedly a Jewish Christian. He's not mentioned elsewhere in the scripture, but the Holy Spirit directed Paul to mention his name in this verse. Then there are those of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Again, it refers to any and all who are within his household, whether wife, children, slaves. Again, Narcissus is a name frequently found among slaves as well as freedmen, which are in the Lord suggests they're saved people and in Christ. The Lord has never forgotten about Narcissus or those from his household, just like he has never forgotten or ever will forget about you or me. Well, why is Narcissus not mentioned in addition to his household? Had he died, or might he have been unsaved? Well, my guess is that he was a believer who had already died, but once again, I'm guessing. It's all right to guess, but you need to know when you're guessing, and you need to know what you can know and what you can't know. Then there's Tryphena and Tryphosa. We've got a lot of names for babies. We could get these all over the nursery one of these days, but we're going to have some younger ladies, I'm afraid, people. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. They are women, female names, who worked hard or toiled to the point of weariness in the Lord. You ladies know what that's like. We serve the Lord, and sometimes we wear ourselves out, don't we? Other than what is said, we don't know a thing about these. But the Lord knows everything there is to know about them, just like he does you and me. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Greet. Persis, by the way, is a female name. And beloved suggests that she was dearly loved by Paul and others. Of course, she was also dearly loved by the Lord, just like you and I are, who labored much. She worked hard, often. She toiled earnestly or strived greatly or struggled greatly, again suggesting the weariness which accompanies her hard work in the Lord. Did you know that people who serve the Lord actually get tired also? Sure we do. Which one of us doesn't get tired? Oh, I never get tired. Yeah, right. About 1 o'clock every day, I'm trying to get over being tired when I take my nap. That's because of my maturity. I need that nap. It's also because I get up fairly early in the morning to get going. In the Lord suggests where this labor was done. Isn't that what we do too? We're serving in the Lord. And it indicates that it was in Christian labor as a Christian servant in Christian work. It was the Lord's work. Oh, and then there's Rufus. This is an interesting one. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Rufus is a common Latin name. We don't know anything about him. But notice, chosen in the Lord. Select in the Lord. Choice in the Lord, or excellent in the Lord, just like you and I are. What a blessing. The Lord has chosen you and chosen me, just like he chose Rufus and other believers. And then Rufus' mother and mine? It's literally the mother of him, meaning of Rufus, and of me. Now there's only one lady being mentioned here. Were Rufus and Paul's Were Rufus and Paul brothers? Answer, I don't know. Personally, I doubt it, but that's only my opinion. Or did Rufus' mother, whoever he was, and whoever she was, treat Paul as if he were her own son? Some of you have taken in friends, children, and you treat them like they were one of your own. My sons growing up in our home, they'd often bring their friends and just one of the group. We treated them like we treated everybody else. Some of you have treated me like this, as if I were your father or your grandfather or your brother, depending on your age. What a blessing you have been to me personally, and I thank you for it. Then there's a Syncritus and Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute is greet. These are all male names, and we know absolutely nothing about any of them, but the Lord knows everything about all of them, just like he knows everything about us. Isn't it great to have a God who loves us and who's interested in what we are and what we're doing? And he can meet every need that you have or ever will have. And then there's Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them in verse 15. Julia, well, Philologus is a male name. Julia is a female name. Were they related? We don't know. Were they husband and wife? We don't know. Were they brother or sister? We don't know. But really, we don't have to know, do we? It doesn't make any difference. Nereus is a male name. Nereus' sister would obviously be a female. Olympus is a male name. The saints which are with them could be males or females, or how many? We have no way of knowing. We don't know who they were, but the Lord knows. Isn't it interesting? What are you going to do tomorrow? You don't know. You think you know, but the Lord does know. What you did yesterday, you may not even remember, especially as you mature. Okay, but you understand, the Lord knows, and he's interested. And then there's salute one another with a holy kiss. It was, as teenagers, we used to think that was interesting. But it means greet each other. With a holy kiss is a typical Christian greeting of that day. Today we greet with a handshake. It has been suggested that in our culture, a holy kiss is equivalent to a hearty handshake. I know it's been suggested. I don't know whether that's actually true. I'll just be honest with you and tell you, I don't go around hugging people, especially the ladies, and there's a reason for that. I don't trust myself, okay? I'm better off shaking hands than hugging all the ladies. So if you want to hug me, I might let you, but I will not be going around trying to hug you. Okay, so much for that. I needed to say that sometime in my ministry here. The churches of Christ salute you. That's not a denominational name, by the way. It means the churches which are filled with believers are sending greetings to the believers in Rome. Now, aside from a limited number of people, no one really knows of our existence, whether it's yours or mine. Who cares, really? The Lord knows all about you and all about me. And he knew all about all of us ever before we were ever born. He loved us in spite of our sin and saved us for all eternity from sin and its consequences. He loved me in spite of my sin and saved me for all eternity from sin and its consequences. Praise God and thank God for who he is and for all he is and for all that he's done for us.